Well, a lot of conversations happening on the Kansas side of the state line as to what went wrong last Tuesday night, not having the wins that many hoped for, anticipated, depending on who you ask and how you look at it. So figured we go to the top of the food chain. Mike Kuckelman is the Kansas GOP chairman. He now joins us on KCMO Talk Radio. Mike, good morning. Let's just put it out there. Where do you think things went wrong last week?
Well, a couple of things, but first, Pete, we had a lot of stuff that went right. I mean, you know, if people need to remember, Kansas is still solid Republican. We have both of our U.S. Senates. We have three seats. We have three of four congressional seats, statewide offices, attorney general, secretary of state, treasurer, insurance commissioner. We have supermajority in the House, supermajority in the Senate. So before we beat ourselves up too bad, we need to remember that we are solidly Republican. Now, having said that, we have to look at this and say, but if we're solidly Republican and we are based on those offices, why are we struggling in third district so much for U.S. Congress? And then second, you know, what happened with the governor's race? That was razor thin, but it was close. And it's, you know, we have a long history in Kansas of continuing to elect Democrats and Republicans to the governor's office. And we have a long history of not unseating an incumbent governor. So I think there's a message there for Governor Kelly that it was that close. That should be alarming to her. But we'll see what happens going forward.
Well, I guess I look at it and I say maybe alarming to Governor Kelly. I don't know why she would be alarmed if you had other statewide Republicans win by 20 points and then she pulled off a win. I mean, to me, she peeled off anywhere from 10 to 20% of voters who voted Republican in other races and voted for her. I mean, if anything, I would. If I'm Laura Kelly, I'm looking at that as a mandate in some respects.
Well, I mean, she could look at it that way, but the other way to look at it is she still is an unpopular governor. Why Kansans didn't vote her out? I mean, it's disappointing to all of us. But Pete, the other thing that she did, and I thought she did well during her campaign, you know, she'd look at the camera and say, "I'm middle of the road." I mean, everybody knew those middle of the road ads. It demonstrate, and she did. She was not middle of the road in the first 4 years of the first term, but she did a good job looking at the camera, saying she is middle of the road. Now, will she be in these next 4 years? I doubt it, based on her history. But she did a good job of looking the camera in the eye and saying, "I will be middle of the road." Well, let's hope that she works with the Republicans in Topeka, because you know, last time we saw how many vetoes every time. Significant legislation passed, she would veto it, and there'd have to be a veto override. But luckily, we have a supermajority, so that's possible.
So why do you think the Republican Party, the Schmidt campaign, did a good enough job exposing the lack of middle-of-the-roadness, as you put it, that she was touting nonstop the last few months?
Well, I thought the Schmidt campaign did a great job getting the message out. Now, they were outspent, of course. And, you know, I know people are questioning whether they should have done more in places like Johnson County, but that's a strategic decision that was made, and it was logical to do what they did. That is to work on getting the vote out, because if you get the voters out, the Republican voters out, outside of Johnson County, the Republican can win. So getting the vote out was significant, of significance to work on that. We could have had more voters turnout. And this race was so close that, you know, another 1,000 voters could have made a difference. And then, of course, we can't ignore the elephant in the room. We had Republican turned independent who took away almost the number of votes that Derek needed to win the race.
Did you ever, as a party chair or, you know, as an operation, did you guys ever try to sit down with Dennis Pyle and try to figure something out behind closed doors to prevent this from happening?
No, there were no closed doors meetings like that with Pyle, because that's not how he operates. He didn't come to us and say, "Hey, I'm going to get in as an independent, or I'm going to leave the Republican Party, or look, here's what I'd like to see happen, you know, the next time around," or any discussions like that at all. Pyle is Pyle. He's all about himself. He, for whatever reason, decided to do what he did, and now we're going to live the consequences of it. And, you know, Pete, I think people need to look at what Pyle did, not only at the number of votes he took, but you have to look at the resources that he sucked up. Because, you know, when the Democrats flooded $2 million in the last week to run these ads, Democrats running ads from out of state, running ads in favor of Pyle, it confused voters. So, you know, the party, we started spending time and resources making certain people knew that was Democrats out there trying to trick them into voting, because a vote for Pyle was a vote for Laura Kelly. But it sucked up time. It sucked up money. That could have been better used working on getting voters to turn out in some of the districts where we had lower voter turnout than we wanted with Republicans. So the damage he did is more than just the number of votes. It's the resources he sucked up.
Mike Kuckelman, Kansas GOP chairman's on KCMO. You know, you mentioned there the pile ads, and they were running all over the station to try to, as you note, trick conservative voters into voting for him. And I get it. Not everybody is as in tune and can't be as in tune. I understand that. But it kind of gets back to what we were talking about earlier, which is Johnson County. I mean, you lose Johnson County by 20 points, Mike. You got to really rack up numbers around the rest of the state. Does the party have to focus more on trying to at least close the gap in Johnson County? And if so, how do you do it?
Yeah, well, I think going forward, people recognize that we have to work on Johnson County. And that's a complicated issue because it's relatively new. You know, Johnson County historically was a very strong Republican county that you could always count on to bring out Republican votes. And we just can't rely on Johnson County the way that we used to. So we're going to have to work on messaging specific to Johnson County. And that message is probably different than messages that we're using, you know, in some of the rural counties in the western part of the state. The messaging probably has to be developed and adapted to Johnson County. You know, I have done a series of meetings with folks in Johnson County just to try to get some input on what kinds of things would be attractive to voters here in Johnson County from the Republicans. And I'm talking about people that aren't in the weeds as far as some of us are in Republican politics, because some of those people just want to hear the 30,000-foot message. They don't want it down here in the weeds with the rest of us. And we have to pay attention to that and get them a message at 30,000 feet that they can grab onto. And again, I thought Laura Kelly's message that she's middle of the road, I think that's the 30,000-foot message that a voter can grab onto.
Yeah. So what in those conversations, or just in your own kind of thoughts, what has gone wrong for the state party that it's gotten so smoked in Johnson County, and it seems like it's only getting worse?
Well, we have, for some reason, Johnson County, a little bit of a reputation that we're just too far to the right, or we do radical things. And I think some people started associating this with, you know, from the 2020 election, and we need to move on from that. We're still living, well, and Kelly was running ads about Brownback. I mean, we're even going back further than 2020. But I think some people at the 30,000-foot level watch and hear things and believe that the party is still caught up in trying to reverse the 2020 election. And we need to be focused on going forward, and we need for people to understand that we're looking forward. And some of the stuff that they're hearing and seeing is not really applicable to a gubernatorial candidate, running for the Republican as a Republican here in Kansas.
What about, you know, Amanda Atkins obviously lost to Sharice Davids by a wider margin than in 2020, which just, I mean, it makes no sense on paper when you think about district had changed, the national landscape had changed, and Sharice won by a larger margin. You mentioned the tie to Brownback. Is it that simple? I mean, you know, I think Amanda did a good job kind of running her own race and not necessarily being tied to the national party, or even frankly the state party. When Ron DeSantis was in Olathe, she wasn't there. I don't think that was a mistake. I think there was a reason for that, but she still got blown out, if we're being honest. So is it the Brownback tie? And if so, how much does that factor into future candidates?
Well, and you know, they did continuously label Amanda as a Brownback, you know, that she was his get it done kind of a person. And I'm sure that hurt her in this district. And it wasn't accurate in any event. She hadn't been Brownback for a long time. But I'm surprised, too, Pete, because when you look at the state of play in the nation with, you know, 8% inflation, you look at interest rates on mortgages, cost of food, cost of fuel, it just seems strange that people in Johnson County would want to vote for Sharice Davids, who has been a rubber stamp for the Biden administration policies. Because with Biden's with his ratings so low right now, it made sense that you would think that Sharice would lose a lot of votes due to her ties with Biden, but that didn't happen. So we're going to have to sit down and really do a postmortem on this and figure out what message can you give to Johnson County voters if the economy didn't drive them away from Biden and Sharice Davids. I mean, what message do we need to give them? And that's something we're going to spend a lot of time working on.
Since we didn't have a lot of primaries in the 3rd District in the governor's race, and, you know, you had candidates kind of latch on to the big issue of the primary, which was value them both. In hindsight, how much of a mistake was that maybe, and how much did that possibly play a role in what took place last Tuesday?
Well, the Dobbs decision probably has turned out some voters who historically haven't been as involved in the past, and that has hurt Republicans. I mean, we didn't have a red wave across the country like most people thought we would have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're gonna get control of the House, but not by the margins we, you know, everyone was expecting. So there was no red wave across the country. There wasn't a blue wave either, but it just wasn't as sharp as I would like to have seen in terms of change.
Mm-hmm. But in Kansas in particular, I mean, value them both. What do you think that since there were no primaries and the candidates really weren't running against anybody and they kind of ran with value them both, was that a strategical error in hindsight?
Oh, I don't know that it was a strategical error. You know, value them both, no doubt. It was defeated soundly. And so I think there were still some backlash on that issue because we saw a lot of ads about abortion, and abortion wasn't on the November ballot. I mean, the economy was not really the issue on the November ballot. But again, you know, Democrats, they played that because they knew that voters had voted voted down value them both by a wide margin. So they latched on to that. I thought the Democrats latched on to value them both in the abortion issue far more than the Republicans did in the general, for sure.
Let me last thing, Mike, you know, I look at the, you know, what you do as a volunteer role. Your executive director is Shannon Golden. I mean, she does an outstanding job, but it's a pretty slim operation that the state party has, which surprises me. Is that something that can change to maybe have, you know, a Johnson County focused person or team that's, you know, and maybe you have this. I may be talking about things I don't know, but it just seems like it's a very slim operation. Can that be grown? Where would that budget come from to really try to solidify whether it's 3rd District races or governor's races that we missed out on last week? Is that a possibility? And is that a conversation that will be had?
Oh, certainly we could always grow the party. There's only one thing we need to do that.
Money.
We need more money. We need more donations. You know, and we are all volunteers. You know, we have one full-time employee throughout the year. Shannon, by the way, just last Friday was her last day. So there'll be a new executive director come February because I'm not running for chair in February. So there'll be a new chair in February. They will pick a new executive director. But, you know, during campaigns, we do beef up and we add people, and we did that this last time. And, for example, the RNC, you know, we made a good case that 3rd District, we needed help in 3rd District, specifically to Johnson County. And we had 3 full-time paid staffers, courtesy of the RNC, to help flip 3rd District. So, you know, the RNC did its part, helped us with that. We had lots of volunteers. We had, you know, some temporary employees that we hired to work in Johnson County. So we took steps to do that, and we will continue to do that in the future. But, you know, in terms of the party structure, I've always thought it's a little bit lean. You know, I practice law full time. I do this as a volunteer elected position. You know, our officers' expenses aren't reimbursed, for example. We pay all those out of our pocket. So it is. It's a bare bones operation in some ways, in some respects. I mean, I don't want to minimize what you know, the party, it has a substantial presence. But, yes, it could always be bigger and have a larger presence.
Yeah, and I think that's something that should absolutely be part of the conversation going forward. I know you're more than willing to have that conversation as someone, as you noted, who's doing this on a volunteer basis, paying your own gas and everything else. So, Mike Kuckelman, Kansas GOP chairman, thank you for being here, Mike. We'll have a conversation again soon.
Okay, thanks, Pete. Take care.
You bet. Mike Kuckelman on KCMO Talk Radio.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
We're
that
all
way.
With child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time.
Yep.
Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.